This morning's reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and Moses is speaking. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Thanks be to God.
Well, we're continuing our theme of prayer, and certainly last week and this week we're looking at perseverance. And perseverance isn't just about just praying continually, perhaps something that's really on your heart and praying all the time about it, but it's also just about making good habits. And we're going to talk about that this morning. I don't know what your experience of family prayers is. We had the great joy over Christmas of having our family together for the first time in 5 years. That was our family over from Bolivia. And it was a real answer to prayer. I remember standing and sitting at the end of the table before we were going to meet together and just seeing them all together and thinking, this is a miracle. And I know that many of you have been praying with us, particularly over the family in Bolivia, so they would be able to return. And it was a great time for us. And my grandchildren taught me lessons about prayer. We were just about to have our meal, and I made the mistake of asking who wanted to say grace. And all the grandchildren wanted to. Well, not all of them, because Ezra's not even 6 months, so he's not really into praying at the moment. And Anna Noemi's only got a couple of words at the time, so her prayers would certainly be very short. But yes, the others all wanted to pray. After a few tussles and arguments, we ask Chloe. She's the eldest of our grandchildren. She's 7. I'm quite hungry. I can feel my tummy rumbling. And now, Chloe, this isn't just a prayer, thank you, Lord, for our nice food, amen. Chloe's got several things that she wants to talk to God about. And so she thanks him for the good day that we've had and the presents and the parcels and what we're going to do for the rest of the day. And she's thinking about tomorrow as well and hope that we'll have a good night's sleep. And, of course, I'm hanging on her every word, but at the same time, I'm thinking my dinner's getting a bit cold, really. So I've managed to sort of get a small roast potato on my fork, and I'm all ready to go. And finally, Chloe finishes the prayer, and there's a great loud amen from everybody around the table. But Evie, I hadn't allowed for her tenacity, because Evie hasn't given up on the idea that she would like to pray as well. So she starts, and she's got a few things as well. At that point, I've given up on having a hot meal, and I think we're into a family prayer meeting instead. So Evie finishes, and of course, I was right. Caleb then wants to say something. Thankfully, Caleb's prayers are really very short, and he really just wants to say thank you for Grandma's good food. And we finish. So what a lesson, eh? That my priorities about stuffing my face with food are not the same. They've It's amazing, isn't it, with children. Before we go on, I wanted to preface this with a couple of things, really. One is that I really understand that for some of you, this is a hard subject. I know that some of you have very faithfully shared your faith with your children, and you love them deeply, and I know that you continue to pray for them. And yet, they've made other life choices, and they've gone in a different direction. And I'm sure that your hearts really ache about that, and I understand that. And actually, there is a group that get together only every couple of times a year, and they pray together. And in fact, they're praying this coming week. So if you'd like the opportunity of joining with that group and praying them, talk to Penny after the service, and she'll tell you about that group, because it's good that we do support one another in our prayers. Now, secondly, I've got a disclaimer. You know what disclaimers are, aren't you? You know, when you read the fine print. And my disclaimer is that I'm not up here as an expert in families. I really am. I'm not. Some people very occasionally, very kindly say, you know, your boy is, it must be marvellous, you know, you must be very proud of them. And yes, I am. And they're a real credit to you. And no, they're not. You know, when I look back, there's so much more I think I should have done. Anne was much better with them than I was about talking with them and praying with them. And so I'm definitely not an expert on this. For many of us, we now have opportunities with our grandchildren, maybe even our great-grandchildren, to pray with them and to share with them. And in fact, Ben, before he came over from Bolivia, he said, I wondered if there might be a chance for me to preach to the church. And I thought that would be great, so I let Dave know. And in the end, the timing just didn't work out. But Ben wanted, and this is the message he wanted to share with the church, and that is that HBC supported him, you know, when he was younger, particularly in his teens. We joined the church when Ben was 11, and he went through his teens, and he had so much help from the church. And that's really the message that he wanted to give to all of you. At the time, you know, there were youth workers, people who were, you know, at the back now, people who are no longer with the church now. But he was so grateful for the way the church supported him. So much of how Ben developed was through you, through people in the church. Yeah, Anne and I had something to do with it, but it certainly wasn't down to me in terms of the fact that they've chosen to follow the Lord. So, good habits. We read here in Deuteronomy, and it's a lovely picture, isn't it, about setting good habits for your life. What is it, first of all, that God actually wants us to do, wants from us? It's very clear. He says three things. He says, fear the Lord. I've just jotted some words down in terms of what comes into your mind if you read. And fear the Lord is a constant message throughout the scriptures, that we should fear the Lord. But it's about awe and respect. It's about honouring him. It's about worshipping him. He says, obey the Lord. Obey my decrees and commands. And if you look through Deuteronomy around this passage, it's all about God's command, about the Ten Commandments, but also about other commands that he gave to his people. And love the Lord. Love the Lord with your whole being, absolutely everything. We read about it. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. And just as God is one, although he's a triune God, so every part of our being is about loving the Lord. Obeying the Lord, and do we obey out of fear? Do we obey out of love? Well, I think there should be an element. I don't know about you. You're driving along and you look in the mirror and you notice in the mirror this yellow and blue car behind you. What's your first thing that you do? Well, if probably you're fine, but the first thing I do is look at my speedometer. You see, there's that element of fear. Why is it that I'm just slightly afraid? Because I know that I might not quite be obeying the law. And there should be that aspect in our lives. You know, yes, we should love the Lord, but the scriptures are very clear that God, why do I fear the police? Because they have authority over me. I should fear God in a way because he has absolute and utter authority over me. But that is what God expects from us. He expects us to fear him in a really reverential way. He wants us to obey his word because he knows that by obeying his word, that is the best thing that we can do, the best thing for our lives. And those commands were given. If Israel had followed those commands, they would have had such a different history. But they didn't. And, of course, to love him with our whole being. So, how do we actually do that? Well, we do it by setting up good habits. How about our good habits with our children? In verse 7, we read there, it says, impress God's word, impress God's commands on your children. When it talks about fearing God, it talks about your children and their children fearing God. So we are to impress God's word on them. We are to talk about God with them. Talk about him naturally. And the thing is that when they're little, they can be so open. Isn't it amazing? My own children, but when I was in Sparklers, things that adults get all worried about and don't understand and struggle with, sometimes children will just accept it. And they accept things so openly. There's so many opportunities when they're young to talk about God. They don't have the same hang-ups. Things that I would think, they're going to struggle with this, and they just accept it. So talk to God about them. Praise God and pray together. Remember that lovely passage in Psalms, Psalm chapter 8, which talks about Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against the enemy. Isn't that amazing? You know, I love watching them. And here on a Sunday morning, they're praising. I don't know, I don't suppose we know what's going through their heads, but somehow naturally there's that element of praising God. So we need to praise God with them and pray together. Answer their questions. We didn't actually read further, but if we'd read on a few verses to verse 20, it says, in the future, when your children ask you, what is the meaning of these stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell them. So we need to answer their questions honestly. Don't be afraid of those questions. And they ask the most difficult possible questions, don't they? And they'll ask questions that you don't actually know the answer to anyway, but answer them honestly. Accept them. And welcome them. Jesus accepted children and young people in his arms. And it was so kind of countercultural in those days, really. Children were not really expected to be visible. I think in the UK, it's still very much like that. If you go to other countries, you go to Italy, countries like that, you'll find that families are much more accepted. You go into a restaurant and it's accepted that all the family's there with all the noise and mess and everything else. In the UK, we're still not very good at that, are we? You know, you see the frowns from people around you looking at what's going on. We need to accept them and welcome them. And also we need to learn from them. Remember what Jesus said, you know, unless you become like this little child, as he had a little child standing in front of him, unless you become like them, you will never enter into God's kingdom. So I'm not talking about becoming childish, but that simple faith that they can have, we should have as well. Now, obviously this is for the family. This is for us with children and with grandchildren and with great-grandchildren and with our nephews and nieces. That's for us. But it's for the HBC. It's always been a priority in the church, our children and young people's work, and I hope it always will be, really, our top priorities. We will never let that go. And the thing is, as I was saying with Ben, you know, there were people in this church that were so supportive and helped him in his prayer life, in his Christian life, and we should be the same. And we are never too old, none of us ever too old, that we can't get involved with the lives of our children and young people. You know, it's great what our leaders and teachers here do in the church week by week, what they're doing out there right now. That is great. But don't just leave it to them. It's not just their job. And it's not just the family. It's not just mum and dad's job. It's all of us involved with getting involved with our young people. And I think there's a warning for us. I don't know how much you've caught up, but quite often I hear things in the news. And it's because of the concerns about radicalisation. And obviously there are big concerns about schools that are teaching only, say, the Muslim faith, and where children and young people are getting drawn into radical situations and even going to Syria. And you can understand all of that, but you hear the message that's coming through more and more. It's about, well, you shouldn't be allowed to just teach your children about one faith. You know, there will be many who would think it's not right, who would probably disagree with what we do in this church, say it's not right. You should teach them about religions. You should give them the options. You should talk about religion, but don't tell children that there's only one way to God. You know, that's too radical. And I really believe that there is the danger that slowly the UK is going to continue to move into because of cares and concerns. And at the moment, we should take these freedoms and use them. But I think we do really need to see what's going on in our society. And these erosions of our freedom to teach our children might come in. And so we do need to be careful about that. So good habits with the family. And then I want to really just talk a little bit about the rest of us as well. Good habits in our lives. And this whole passage really talks about carrying God's word or God's commands or writing God's commands. And it says, wherever you are, carry God's word with you. In the home and away. When you're out on the streets, it says when you're walking along the streets, carry God's word with you. Whenever, it says, when you're lying down at night, when you get up in the morning, carry God's word with you. It's a habit I'm not very good at. You know, when I get up in the morning, not my best time of day, to be honest. And I just want to get going and I want to get to work and get into things. And it's so easy for me, you know, for God's word really not to have any real impact. I mean, it's from the time I get up right to the time when I go to bed, then I need to be carrying God's word with me. It talks about writing God's word on your hearts. So these are our feelings, our emotions. We've spoken about this recently, again, about praying The videos we've been talked about getting indignant in our prayers. You know, when did we last get really cross and upset about a situation that we've been praying about? We are emotional beings, and God says your feelings, your heart, should be involved. When I was a youngster, it was one of the things I was told you shouldn't really. You shouldn't get emotional about these things. It was all about distrusting your emotions. And yes, your emotions don't always, they get messy. But, and they're not always a good guide. But we are emotional beings. And so we should carry God's word on our hearts. It says we should write God's word on our hands. So this is obviously all about our actions and our activities. And I'm so much like, you know, it's so easy. Some ways it's so easy to talk, and it's so difficult to do. It is about actively doing things. Remember teaching in James about faith, and saying, you know, you show your faith by what you do. You show your belief by what you do. You show that you trust God's word and that you obey his commands, not by what you say, but by what you do. It says, write them on your foreheads, your thoughts, your intellect. Scripture talks about our minds being transformed by the gospel, about the truth of God. And so, again, it's our whole beings that are involved with this. If you remember that Jesus spoke about the Pharisees, he spoke about them wearing these phylacteries. I think the word is the tefillin. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. And you can see on these, this is exactly what the Jews might be doing. So they will write, there will be passages of scriptures, and they put them in a box, and they put them on their foreheads. Exactly what it says in Deuteronomy here. And you can see the strapping around. You can't see the picture that well, but I think he has a box just at the top of his arm. Now, Jesus was saying, don't go making these really massive so that people look at you and think you're really holy. So it's not about making a show. He wasn't saying it was wrong. And so just as the Jews would have actually written God's word and physically carried them like that, I'm not suggesting, I suppose nowadays it would be all about getting a tattoo. I'm not suggesting necessarily that you decide to go and get your whole body tattooed with God's word. You might need to think carefully about that one. Definitely not a recommendation, but maybe that's the sort of thing that we would do nowadays. So, good habits. Good habits in prayer. I wonder if you've ever sort of analysed when you've had, an evening with some really close friends. You have them around for a meal. Have you ever analysed what you've spoken to them about during that whole evening? Now, these are people, perhaps, who love the Lord. You've known them very well. You know they have a strong faith. But what is it that you talk about? I suspect that you talk to them about your jobs and your families, I'm certain. You probably talk to them about the church, your church, their church. You might well be talking to them about our new pastor, and they might be talking, and all sorts of things. It's amazing that actually, when it comes down to it, how little we really do talk about God with our closest friends. Somehow, we stop at that point. We talk about church, but not about God. And how often do we pray with them? Our experience, very, very little. We're really not very good about making prayer such a habit that it really ingrains everything that we do. I know that we've said this before, you know, in home groups. I mean, it is great, you know, and I've been in various home groups, and it's very similar in some ways. We talk a lot, and we pray a little. And yes, we do need to talk. I'm not saying we don't. We need to understand. But maybe just occasionally you reverse the ratio of the time that you talk and the time you pray, so that we pray more and talk a little less. How about stopping regularly to pray? I've mentioned this before. The leadership team, we've been trying to do this, but we're still not very good at it. We said, well, and as a leadership team meeting, when we were getting together, whenever we came, come to a decision or we've been talking about something, we should stop. Right, let's stop talking and let's pray about this. We talk a bit more, let's stop and pray. We're doing it a bit, but we're still not doing it as much, I don't think. Do we do that as a church? Yes, we do it occasionally, don't we? But prayer doesn't really infiltrate my life as it should do. And it doesn't really infiltrate the church life. There are lots of opportunities to pray. We heard, didn't we, about a chance to pray for our young people and our youth work, and that's great. I said this week there's an opportunity to pray with the Hope Group. There are lots of opportunities, but making it a habit that it really becomes part of our whole being, our whole church life much more. I don't think those are habits that we've really built up, certainly not in my life, and maybe not within the church life. So, good habits. Maybe that's one good habit that we could take, that certainly I could take up. A little less talk and a little more prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful picture that reminds us that as part of our daily lives, we should be writing your commands on our hearts, on our hands, on our forehead, so that your word becomes so much part of our lives. It's part of our emotions, part of our actions, part of our feelings, part of our thoughts and understanding. Lord, we're sorry that these are habits that we still haven't really built up in our lives. We pray that you'll help us to think these things through and to really cultivate these good habits. In Jesus' name, amen.